Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Or to Know Better, the Berardi and Coke podcast. I'm Carl. I'm joined by Matt and Charlie. How you doing, boys? You all right?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, not so bad. Good. Thank you.
Good, good. What we're going to do is get stuck into a bit of chat about the game. See how it goes.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Or to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Well, lads, I'm going to try and just keep very kind of neutral and on the fence about the whole thing today, because fuck it, I've been very outspoken about a few things. So yeah, Jay is meant to be hosting. He's probably going to join us now in a second, but we just said we'd get it going without him because there was three of us here sitting idle. So why not?
Unbelievable.
We can't see you, Jay.
I know. I'm just doing that now.
Only 8 minutes late.
Mate, yeah, that's all right.
Don't I got that. Delayed because I bought a shit car with a battery that don't work and I had to jump start it. I got stuck. But here I am.
Fun times.
That's what I get for buying a red car.
Oh,
you're well. There you go. You see, there you go.
Your own fault.
It was very cheap. It was very cheap. That's all I can say.
It was cheap because it was red.
Pretty much, mate. I think so. Pretty much. I will be visible shortly. I'm setting this shit up.
But you don't have to for us.
That's okay. We're okay with it, Jim. We know what you look like.
You would miss me. You would miss me.
So you made it back in time for the game, Jay, did you?
Yeah, I got there, I think, 1 minute before kickoff, so that's good going by my standards.
That is not bad going. Well, it's better than the pod anyway. Like, so, you know, if your standard is whatever your delay is for the pod, then Jesus.
I'll tell you what, mate, I'm here and I'm trying. Alison. I've literally run through the door. I have run through the door and jumped straight on the PC. I mean, obviously, I got a drink.
You're not getting any brownie points now for jumping straight on when you were meant to be on like some. 9 minutes ago. Like,
I want some.
But anyway,
I did the tweet. I sorted this shit out. You did nothing.
Well, you were meant to be hosting, and look who's in the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, well, every dog has its day.
Audrey in charge. Ah, here, Bandy. Come on, no, that's not on. Like, Jesus Christ. That's harsh. That is very harsh. Like, But anyway,
I'm having a good time here. But the
that one's a bit mean.
Don't work either.
Big up to Jay. There's no bigger batch here.
There fucking is, mate. Look at that.
Is that the sound you make when you lift someone up onto a chair?
Big sometimes, up. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Right, come on, make a start. We've been talking 3.5 minutes.
All right. Am I taking back over this, or are you carrying on, Carl?
Go for it there, you're on the top left, Jay.
Have we had an intro or anything like that, lads?
Just crack on.
I love you guys. I can just rely on you to steer the ship. I don't even know what the fuck I'm meant to be saying. I've run in the house. I've run straight upstairs via grabbing a vodka. And so it's kind of a bit weird.
So what we're doing here, Jay,
there we go.
We're doing Brardy and Coke. It's a post-match pod.
Yes, mate. I'm aware of that.
If you want to take it up from there and we can go and see what the crack is.
Do you want to get back to Coronation Street? I nearly said it then. anyway, right, okay. I'll try and get composed. I mean, you've introed everyone, so I won't do all that, but we're all here. I'm glad to be here. I'm a little bit disappointed to walk away with a point, I must admit. But if you'd asked me before the game we'd take a point, I might have said yeah, looking at their form, because they were absolutely on one, to be fair. Tony's been banging them in. They've been winning games left, right and centre, and they've been showing us up, quite frankly. But on balance, I watched that game and I thought, well, we've got to win this. We've got to win this. We're on top. We were on top. They had little periods, but I would say for probably about 60, 70% of that game, we were the better team. I mean, what do you lads think? I'm disappointed to come away with a point, and beforehand, I would have been all right with that.
I think we battered them. I think we absolutely hammered them.
I think so.
Our issue was nothing clinical at all up front. You know, in terms of fashioning chances, we seemed not to. It felt almost like it was, well, let's give Willett ball and he'll do something magic. And that's not appropriate to do with a teenager carrying the entire team.
I said this on the pod, Gilly, like the last couple of weeks. Like you can't put all expectation on a teenager. He shouldn't even be playing every week.
No, there's an over-reliance on him. I think if you look at Aronson, he didn't really have an impact again. I thought Sinny, when he came on, looked quite bright, but to be fair to him, he's going to take a bit of time to get up to speed because he's been out a while. I thought Harrison was all right in patches, but we weren't clinical enough. And I think if you look at Rodrigo, he's been scoring goals, and fair play to him, he has been scoring goals. I think he's still in top five in the league. But he looks like he's running in treacle at times. And, you know, he does drop deep and he plays well on the ball, but also there's nobody getting in front of him when he does that. And people have got to get beyond him. And I'm looking at Aronson when he's playing through the middle to do that. So I think
the lad who comes with me, Dave, said about Rodrigo, he said, oh, he's great when he doesn't have to run.
Yeah.
If he gets to just hang around the box, he's awesome.
He needs a lot of people around him doing a boatload of running. And you look at Willie, you look at Harrison, you look at Aronson. They are players that will put the shift in and will do a lot of running. But I think we're just in that situation where it was almost, well, give it to a player that's exciting on the ball and let's just see what they do, rather than it being the shape and the format and the way that they're setting up that crafts an opening. Like we saw with Bielsa, where he plays his overloads, he played his switches. You knew what were coming, and you could see the shape, you could see the movement, and you could see what the intent behind the move was. Now it's just let's stand everybody as close to each other as we can, and let's just play tiki taka in the middle. We're not Barca. We don't have Xavi and Iniesta to play tiki taka in behind Messi. We don't have that. And it feels like that's what we're trying to achieve. And we're trying to achieve it with natural wingers. And it just it frustrates the hell out of me. And you know, Bill were calling for the ball. I wouldn't know if he's lower today. Right in front of us, screaming for the ball constantly, wide open, providing the width. And we just weren't looking for the width. So I tweeted on the way back to the car. Felt like two, like you said, a little bit disappointed because it felt like 2 points dropped on balance of the game.
It did,
again. Yeah. I probably would have taken a point ahead of the game. You know, six unbeaten, four of them wins, one of them against Man City. They were flying. Yeah. They were playing well. I was really disappointed in them. I thought they were shit. I really thought they were shocking.
I didn't think there was anything special about them whatsoever.
No. And you look at Mbeumo, you look at Tony, they've got it in them to be exciting in attack. Look at what they did against us at their place. You know, they've got it in them. But we basically saw nothing from them. I think the fact that I just had a quick look at the stats before we came on, because we had a bit of extra time waiting for you, Jay.
they I had like to give eight, you guys this freedom, you know.
They had 18 fouls. And the only time they got booked was Tony's towards the end where he cleaned cock out. I mean, he really did.
Yeah.
And Visser for not backing away from the kick. The frustrating thing for me is that I don't want a lot of the free kicks. I was screaming for him to get yellow cards today because I know that the other way around, our players getting booked. That's the frustration for me. We get booked for very little.
So I
thought Banks had an appallingly bad game today. I think he was the only person on there trying to vie with Brentford for being bad. But the one thing I will say, and I've not been his biggest supporter, is because of the nature of the game and the way that it went, I felt that was one of Cox's better games. Yes, okay, he gifted them a chance in the first 30 seconds, but beyond that, I thought, because I thought that Aylin had made that block when he'd slid out and just got his toe on it and pretty much stopped somebody having the ball 12 yards out, unmarked. I thought that were Aylin, and apparently it wasn't. That was Cox. I'll be fair to him, he played pretty well. You know, I think that's the best. I mean, I think the best game he ever had in the Leeds shirt was the Liverpool, his debut, the Liverpool game, the 4-3 that we lost. I thought he played really well in that game. Yeah.
Not field in that game.
No, it was him and Stroik at centre back because of injuries.
Okay, I can't remember.
So I think today were one of his. Other than that one, were probably his best game for us.
Fair enough. I
agree with that. I thought Cop was excellent today, and I thought Verba was very good as well. Just really solid. Granted, I wasn't in the ground today, so I didn't. You know, it is different watching on the telly, but I didn't think we really looked like scoring. I think we were the better side, and if there was going to be a winner, it would have been us. But I think it had nil-nil written all over it from quite early on for me.
They're frustrating games when you can see that nil-nil score coming. You're hoping beyond hope it won't be, but you can see it.
I was disappointed with the ref. Gilly's absolutely spot on. If you make some of those bookings earlier for all the time wasting and they're not moving away from the ball, because they did that 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
And the keeper, you know, when the keeper's got the ball in his hands, it's still 6 seconds, isn't it, before he's meant to kick it?
It's meant to be, yeah.
At least twice, it was over 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just, it was so frustrating. I mean, for once in my life, I'm glad I've not driven 4 hours each way for that.
I was stood next to a guy from Kent, Charlie, and he said, oh, it's going to be a long drive home.
Yeah,
but it's not so bad when we win, you know. And I was just like, Jesus Christ!
Yeah. At least we didn't lose
every own game.
Yeah.
You would have taken a point before kickoff, wouldn't you, today?
Yeah,
you would. Yeah,
oh, you would.
They were in the top three. They were third in the form league. That you know, to go into it to us. I know we're at home, but they were third in the league in the form table.
Mm.
There's a lot to be said for once you get on a roll.
I mean, it's frustrating. Like, the ref was terrible for me. I mean, there was so much inconsistency in what he did. And did you notice that when we were attacking and the ball hit him, he stopped it and he gave them the ball?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But twice when they were attacking, it hit him and he did nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen the ref get hit so many times. 4 or 5 times it hit him today.
His positional sense was absolute dog shit today. Like,
his positional sense was about as good as Aronson.
Yeah.
But not as bad as Cock.
No. That's quite a Do you know, I've defended Cock against you many times, Gilly, but I'll tell you what, that near the end of the game when he gifted them the ball when he made another shit pass, I thought that were going to be it. I really thought we'd done a Leeds and we'd fucked it at the end, and I went, my heart were in my mouth, man.
I was down the other end, couldn't really see because that would have been in front of you two, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it were awful. You burst it to watch. Tell us.
Well, no, it was just there was elements of that that were very difficult to watch. And like Charlie was saying there, we were getting into good positions, but our end product, regardless of the amount of goals Rodrigo scored, we can't rely on him solely to score the goals. And our end product from other players at the moment is absolutely shocking. There is no real end product. Like Willie, what's Willie got? He's got maybe, what, three goals or something like that? Four goals, maybe?
So just on that,
and
just to ask the question on that then,
mm-hmm.
given our inability to craft and create chances today, and that it did look like it were 0-0, why leave it so long to bring on your best striker?
You see, this is another thing I was going to come to, was that I think that sub should have been made around 55 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think that sub should have been made as late as it was. Like, I know it was, what, 20 minutes he got? That's not enough time for your main striker to impact any game, regardless. I know he got a goal against 21. Villa, whatever.
Yeah, came on I think it's a tough one.
No, not 21, not 11.
I think Rodrigo has earned the right to be first choice at this time, but Paddy scored two goals when he came.
I know. Yeah.
Three and two he's got.
He should have got half an hour for me.
Like, I'm not saying Rodrigo should have been the swap for Bamford. I think Rodrigo should have gone into the middle where Jackie was and put Jackie out wide. Then later on, when Rodrigo's tiring a bit, I'd have brought on Rutter instead of Sinisterra. Because if Sinisterra isn't properly up to scratch and he's only coming back from fitness, but we've got a player who we've just forked out the goods of 32 or 35 million on, who's fit, ready to go, in my opinion. He's only had a break for the winter and the World Cup. That's nothing. Like, they're still going to be training. He's fitter than Sinisterra. Why not bring him on and just freshen up the front line that way rather than bringing on Sinisterra, who's, like I said, he's not up to it just at the moment. He's still coming back. We were in the ascendancy for large parts of that game. Yeah. And I felt that if we'd have brought on someone who we've just spent that much money on, could you imagine the lift that would have given the crowd? Like, that would have also been like last year when Gelhard came on against Brighton and Hove Albion. The fucking crowd went absolutely bonkers. And he just, you know, That's what we were missing today. We were missing that, even though the crowd was up for it for the most part. And I think that's probably the most up for it I've seen a crowd at Elland Road this season.
I've got to say, Carl, their fans were shit.
Yeah, but they didn't sell all their tickets, so that's just the way it is. Like, you know,
we know now why they only built a 23,000 stadium, don't we? Because that were their hardcore in our way end today.
That's it, yeah. So, like, I think just maybe bringing on the new signing to maybe give that extra lift would have been something that probably should have happened around, I think, maybe the 65th, 70th minute. Give him 20 minutes rather than give Paddy 20 minutes. You know what I mean?
I can see the logic in that, but I can also see probably a logic.
Oh, he's gone again.
fucking
Jay. Oh, no, he's back now.
Oh.
Nope.
Was that me?
Yeah,
that was definitely you, Jeff.
I'm opening the door. We'll
see. So trying to get your mobile a bit higher. I'm just gonna get it higher.
Basically, yeah. Pull aerial out.
We don't know how fit Rutter is, do we?
No. I can see the logic in what Carl's saying, but also I can see logic in we know what Sinister is capable of, so we need him back up to speed as soon as we can. And you've got
Do you think Marsh was happy with a point? Do you think that's why Marsh was slow with his subs? He was happy with a point today.
I think he'll be frustrated by that person. And I think the pressure's on him and he really will want to get a win. Do you know?
I think he would be happy with it. I really do. I think he'd gone into that thinking, if we get out of this without being beat, I'm happy. That's what I would...
That's my view as well.
Don't have
it. Been a lot of games. There's been a lot of games where he's clearly set up to not get beat rather than to win, and that is a thing. That is like a Jesse Marsh thing, I think, that I've noticed. But for me, today we should have been out to win that game, and I'm disappointed we didn't. But like we've said beforehand, I would have took a point because they're on great form. They're a good side, and I hate Thomas Frank, but he's clearly a good manager. He's got them all singing from the same hymn sheet, and they're all playing for him, and, you know, they're doing things like what we did with Bielsa, do you know what I mean? They bought into the coach, they believe in him, they're behind him, they're a united front, they're a unit, and it's taken him places like it did for us. I hate him as a bloke. I think he's a fucking arsehole. But you can't deny that. No, you can't deny the job he's done. He's done a really, really good job, and they are a very hard team to beat. They're very organised. They don't panic. They wait. They bide the time. They take the chances. They get Tony in when they can. And, you know, when you've got a striker like that, you only need one chance, don't you? So you can afford to sit back. You can play a game at your own pace. Just soak it up. You get that one
chance. And they've got genuine pace.
Yeah.
You know,
you've got your one chance, just put your guy in and you're in.
Yeah. I do agree with that. But equally, what I want to do is I want to be 3-0 up with 10 minutes left so that we can sing Mind the Gap Thomas Frank. It's so frustrating that we can't give him shit.
They got their dig in there tonight anyway, after the game ended, where they were chanting, "Leaves are falling apart again," and we're
going,
shit like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
best chat of the day was asking Ivan Tony what the odds were.
I was going to mention that and completely forgot, but yeah.
I think that was
brilliant chant. Tony, what's the odds?
Jay, were it you that shared the stat in the group? Because I don't want to steal the stat. I remember the stat about shots. Were it you that shared it?
It was me, yeah.
Off you go then.
They've not had a shot on target since 2020. I don't know what point in 2020, but it's still a fair old whack.
The first game that they've failed to have a shot on target in about 3 years.
Throw a sieve of a defence to prevent the team having a shot on target for the first time in 2-3 years even. That's pretty impressive.
And as was pointed out...
That takes me to my next point, Gilly. Verba, the Cooper successor.
No. If Cooper wasn't injured... If Cooper wasn't injured... No. Absolutely fine. If Cooper wasn't injured, it should have been him and Verba. That's your upgrade.
Two left footers.
I don't care. This really pisses me off. Nobody gave a shit about having two right-footed centre backs until Bielsa said, "No, I want a balance." No one gave a shit.
Man, I'm always of the thought that you never have. That was even when I was playing back in the day, that was always the way I was told to play football at centre back.
I played at centre back and I didn't give a shit where I played at centre back. In fact, I played at right back.
I'm not saying like hang even on if
sec,
you're like,
hang on a sec, hang on a sec.
Oh, to no better.
Go on, lad.
But yes, we still haven't conceded a goal with him on the pitch.
Yeah.
What a record.
That's not a bad one to have at the moment.
If we keep clean sheets the next two or three games with that same back four, do you keep it for the rest of the season?
No.
Wait,
what?
No.
Hold on, now we're looking for consistency. This is the one thing we're talking about on the pod on a regular basis about this. If what Charlie has said there, if we have players who are playing together, it's probably Buzzer.
It is Buzzer. Who's Buzzer?
Barry. Jimmy. Oh,
Jimmy. Right, okay.
Jimmy's like, we'll bring you on shortly, Barry. We'll bring you on shortly,
If we're going to... I've lost my train of thought there now. if we're going to stick about the same back four and we're looking at wanting consistency... And those say, like Jerry said, they get us a couple of draws or a win here and there over the next two or three games while Cooper's out injured. You should keep that back four. That's where the consistency starts.
Okay, that's fine.
If somebody's scoring goals up front, Gilly, you don't take him out of the team, do you?
No, that's fine. Let's say we win the next three games 1-0 and Nonto, Aronson and Harrison absolutely fail to create a single chance, you just keep them in to keep it consistent?
No, you keep players in.
No, you don't. Absolutely, you don't. We're still scoring goals.
No, we're keeping players in that are consistent in the back.
Oh, I love when it gets spicy, up points and draw on or wins.
That don't make any sense. So you don't play your best players so you can maintain consistency even if they're offering up chances, like Cock did today, twice.
Just sit back, Charlie, and enjoy this.
Twice.
So you're taking out all the ones that Cooper has done over the last couple of months as well, like whenever he's played.
We can total them up if you want. I'll go through all of the back catalogue and I'll total up the amount that Cock have given away and the amount of Cooper has given away.
You can do that, Gillian. Let us know.
That'd be brilliant, Gillian.
No problem. Yeah,
sweet. Gillian loves
He'll enjoy that. He loves statistics.
You play your best players and you try and maintain the players that you've got available to you that are your best players, and that's what you try and keep sustained.
Gilly, your point there is if the attacking players play poorly, but we've not let any goals in, I would change them because their job is to create chances.
But that was my point. But he's saying all you're doing is maintaining the side to try and maintain the side.
No,
but
I said
not playing
at the back. We keep
But I was just turning it round. Of you're just looking for consistency in personnel. But
no,
if they're not the best
as a back line, as a back line,
you know, it doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah,
the same point is the same point.
I think it does.
The same point is the same point. But if you've got your best centre back sat on the bench,
yeah,
and you don't play them,
yeah,
what's the point in having them? So let's take it the other way around, right? So Averba has shown that he's got the capability and he's got the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So he picks up a slight knock, misses one game. Cooper's come back in, played alongside Cock. Yeah. Verb is now available. You don't bring him in because they kept a clean sheet in previous game. No, you play your best personnel, and that's what you're trying to sustain.
Yeah, so one game, is a bit more of a one-off. But I'm saying, and bear in mind, the next three games are Forest and Scum twice. Forget the cup game, the next three league games are Forest away and Scum home and away. If we keep three clean sheets in them with that same back four...
You don't mess with that.
You don't change it, surely.
So I think the thing about playing against Scum is Cock will likely excel in that game because he's a donkey and he's going to play against a donkey for Scum. all that's going to be is a ding dong battle. There's nobody going to be little and quick running at Cock where he can't cope. And there's none of that. He doesn't need a positional sense. All he's got to do is follow around a big donkey. So that's well within his capability to do. I've no issue with that. But you play him against somebody that's little and quick and he's lost. He's got no idea what to do. And he just offers up chance after chance.
Fair, most players in our back line are lost against someone little and quick, Gilly. You can't really level that at Cock on his own.
Well, today, Brentford have got two big and quicks, haven't they?
Yeah. The thing is,
what's Russ saying here?
It is very different between Charlie, we won't have Cock against Forest, mate. We might do.
No, you're right. He's got his fifth yellow. Yeah, sorry.
All right.
He's out.
Good point.
For me, though, there's a massive difference. Like, you can't compare the front line and the back line directly. For me, the back line just has to keep a clean sheet. And if they do, then they've done well. The front line...
Yeah, but the attack needs to score goals.
But the front line are judged individually on chances they create, so you could interchange players out of the front line because...
But that was my point.
If they keep a clean sheet, Gilly, you want to keep them because something works, obviously.
But if you've got two wingers and an attacking central midfield and not creating chances, you don't just keep it to keep it.
No, you change that. Absolutely,
yeah, exactly.
You change it. But if
you've got somebody in the defence that's
consistently
giving away chances, you don't keep them in just to keep it sustained personnel.
But if they've got a clean sheet, you do, even if someone didn't perform.
Even if Melier's just bailed them out again and again
and
again.
Maybe so, but...
Would you like Llorente? You like Llorente?
I know.
No, I like Llorente better than I like Cock because he's a better player. I'm telling you that my option would be Verber and Cooper.
Yeah,
and you're saying, well, no, because they're both left-footed. No, they're both leaders, and they both appear to be the best centre backs we've got.
I'm interested to know what the guys in the comments think about this because I feel like we need some outside input. I'm going to bring Buzzer in, though. Good old Barry, Jimmy's lad. So I'm just going to invite him in, see what he's got to say. Now then, Barry.
Hello. Bless
can you hear us, mate? Are we all good?
I can hear. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, just about. No, normally we get just people joining. The camera don't work and their internet don't work, and you know, but you know, you're a professional, Barry, so it's all right. What did you reckon to that today? Were you happy with a point, or did you want more?
Honestly, I thought Marsh should have made a few changes kind of sooner than he did. I thought Bamford should have been brought on a lot sooner.
That seems to be a bit of a consensus here, I think.
Yeah,
it was like that type of game where the crosses were going in, and like if he was there, you know, to ruffle them up, because there was no one, like Rodrigo wasn't doing anything to the centre backs, and like when the balls were going in, all they were doing was heading them out, you know. So that he should have changed.
Something with Laca Rodrigo, isn't it? I mean, he's got the ability to score goals, but he doesn't put himself about like Bamford does.
Yeah. But I was happy. I was happy with the clean sheet. The defense was very, very good today. They were solid, but we created a lot of chances, but just couldn't finish.
Yeah, it was frustrating, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you think? Are we relying too much on Willie at the moment as an out ball? It seemed to be our go-to ball against Villa. Even against Cardiff there on Wednesday night, like whenever we got it, if there wasn't a kind of a player down the right wing at all, it was straight out to Willie. It was going like, you know, and it just shows a bit of kind of, I don't know, it lacks creativity if you're telegraphing a ball to the same player all the time. Do you think we need to kind of look at different avenues?
Well, definitely, because there was an incident in that game there today when Rodrigo was going through and he had Nanto one side and he had Harrison the other side. And to me, the better ball would have been played to Harrison, but he played it to Nanto when Reyes saved it. And it just looked like every single time we got the ball, they were looking for Nanto. And Brentford were reading it. They had two or three players around them. You know,
I'm not sure anyone trusts Harrison anymore.
I know, but who else? Sinisterra, he looked awful rusty. Somerville, when he comes back, definitely he should go back in, because him and Nanto have a great relationship. So they have.
Sinisterra was pretty anonymous today when he came on. He didn't do anything.
Been out a while, though. He has been out a while.
He has.
That's why I would have said... but I was just going to say, like, that's why I would have said I would have put on Reuter instead of Sinisterra. Like,
I'm just glad you can pronounce his name.
Makes a change, I guess, doesn't it?
Go on, Buzzer. Sorry, mate. Go on.
No, like, Sinisterra, I thought he shouldn't have come on, in fairness, now, because he's not fully up to match speed. So what I would have done, like, maybe brought Bamford on a lot earlier, taken off. I would have left Rodrigo on. I think I would have taken Harrison off and left Rodrigo and played two up top. You know, because if you have Bamford in there getting in around with the centre backs, maybe get the knockdown for Rodrigo if he's there. But Sinisterra, he done absolutely nothing when he came on. He done nothing. But look, play him in the cup. Give Rutter, if he can, you know, start in the cup.
He's not going to get back up to speed unless he plays in games, and you're going to have to carry him for a little bit until he gets up to speed. That's the balance, isn't it? That's the trade-off.
I
feel we've been carrying Aronson a little bit this season, so I don't think we need to be carrying another player at the same time.
I am done with Aronson. I think he's useless.
I'm
done.
I'm not done with Aronson. I think there is still a baller in there. He just needs to properly toughen up. Like,
at this moment in time, I don't want to see him on the pitch, because all he does is run around, get knocked off the ball, lose the ball. There's no final ball. It's just like, you know, it's like, you know, when you see a dog. When you're in school and you're playing football and a dog gets in.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And chased after a fucking ball. And everyone's like, hey, that's what fucking Aronson's like. Doesn't do anything fucking useful. Just fucking runs around like a lunatic chasing ball. That's what he's like.
Oh, fucking
I'm telling you.
Like, I had a great view of the first half today where, I don't know, Barry, what the view was like on the telly or like that, but when there was a few passes where he tried playing a through ball, and there wasn't enough power on the ball to get to the player that he wanted to play it through to, and B, the accuracy was completely way off when the opportunity was wide open. I'm not, like, it was in the first half. One of them was for Rodrigo, right down the middle, and then the second one was for Harrison, I think, to kind of play it on the edge of the box down the wing, and like I've said previously, we need to work on our passing. Honest to God.
You're getting some stick in the comments, Carl.
The American lads are
who's giving
me
stick?
No, apparently Aronson had a great game and his press was super effective today.
Yeah, but chasing the ball doesn't fucking make the whole fucking... Like, I get that. And like I said to one of the lads today in the stand, it's funny you should mention that news. I said to one of the lads today, what do we have him in the team for at the moment? Because it's not to be creative. Is it just to win the ball back? And he was like, well, it seems to be, yeah. And I was like, that's not fucking enough.
I'm worried that Noose and Bandy, they probably watch NFL. So they're used to special teams where you have people that have a specific job. Do you know what I mean? You don't get special teams in proper football. Like Aronson.
Oh, you do? Like, there's one that plays in pink over the other side of the country. They're a very special club.
But Aronson is kind of like that in, like, if his only job was to harass... Bloody hell, buzzer. You know, calm down. If his only job was to harass and harry the other team, then he's fucking ace. He's top notch. But
that's all Marsh wants from the entire team. No, but give them the ball in positions where we can win it back from them. That's all he wants.
But you also have to be able to do something when you actually get the ball, not just be fucking pushed off it.
That's my issue with Aronson as well. If you look at him as a central attacking midfielder or out on the right sometimes, he's got to score more than one goal. That's all he's scored. And that was the goal against Chelsea where the keeper flogged it. And he's had two assists.
Do you know what? I like him better on the right than through the middle. Because
we need someone in that role who's going to score 8 or 10 goals.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's offered enough. Having said that, one thing that we were looking at on the way out of the stadium tonight was trying to remember the last time we'd had a 0-0. So we did get a 0-0. It was at the end of last year. We did get a 0-0 against Newcastle, but that were at their place. The last time we had a 0-0 at Elland Road was the 2nd of October.
Fucking hell.
That's not bad going, really.
Yeah, but there's a lot of losses in there as well. Like,
I'm well happy to keep a clean sheet. I'm not going to lie. I'm well happy.
Yeah.
That would do. We've got to break that 2-goal-a-game average.
Yeah, well, look, at the end of the day, I think our best passage of play wasn't even fucking meant to be the way they wanted it to be. But anyway,
It wasn't meant to be the way they wanted it to be. Yeah, let's have a bit more specific.
Are you just going to leave it at that, Agatha Christie?
Well, yeah.
We've got to work it out ourselves.
Poirot.
Come on.
Like, there was a stage at one point where I think it might have been played out from Ailing and it went up the right wing in the second half, and there was a few intricate kind of passes where we ended up breaking down the centre through Jackie, and then the final ball into Nanto was shit. For the whole of that passage of play, I watched it and I was like, that didn't look like that's what they wanted to do at all. But it somehow worked out and looked like something that used to represent Beelzebub. And it just that's the way I'm looking at the team now at the moment. Whenever they do anything good, that breakaway goal from against Cardiff, where we were back down again in the cop right now.
Anything
corner,
good is what Beelzebub.
And we came out. No, not that at all.
No, it's by accident.
Came out. It's total fluke. Total fluke. And this is why I've
Jay's had a power cut. Plug your hamster back in, Jay.
I'm still here.
No, you've got no signal.
I don't know what's going on. It's just turned
your camera
off.
Your camera's dead.
I know. What the I hate these.
Go on, Carl, off you go.
So yeah. But like that's kind of part of the reason that I don't really have any faith in anything that Jesse is trying to put across on the training ground. I genuinely watch those phases of play and I'm like, I've talked about them not coaching phases of play, because when they do come off and they look like that, you know he hasn't done that, and it's just the player was in the right space at the right time by pure accident. And yeah, this is why I can't get on board with the style of football that he plays. I can't see how that's going to work. You what, Barry?
What's the style he's playing? Because
chaos.
Even my young lad today, we're sitting there watching it, and he looked at me and he goes, "They're running around like headless fucking chickens." He goes,
"It's chaos. That's all he's after from them.
Where's the identity of it? There's nothing."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like just there terrible. Isn't any. And you look at, just Kyle, just to expand on your point, you look at somebody mentioned earlier about Nanto and Somerville having a great understanding and relationship together. You look at the goals that they scored, the one that Willie set up for Jimmy to run through against Bournemouth. You know, that was not anything to do with the shape of the side or the way that we'd set up. It was a breakaway goal that they scored between the two of them being exciting footballers. The winner against Liverpool is exactly the same. It was it's and we mentioned before about the pressure that's mounting on Willie to carry the team in terms of the attacking intent. Is it's not because we're not managing those passages of play and we're not creating chances through movement, through iterative movement, through understanding, through knowing what we're going to do. It's all on individual brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Just for the audio listeners, Batty's Magic Sponge says the style is called organized, clueless as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think calling that organized is a bit of an extension. It's just clueless as fuck.
Yeah, even organized chaos doesn't come into that kind of situation because you have to organize something for
it's
it to be
just
chaos.
And it's just chaos. Not organized.
I think we still struggled a lot with runners today and stuff. There were a few chances that they got on the corner of our box, which is our weakness, as we know. Mm. Not as many as we've given away in recent times, and we did look.
Gone again.
Better at mid times, but for fuck's sake.
I don't think
you went again there, Jay.
We looked to be never mind. We looked to be better at counter pressing and sort of regrouping than we have been at times in recent games, but we still did give those chances away on the corner of our box a few times. It's still a vulnerability.
It feels
like we're getting better, but it's still
Charlie, I don't feel
you
like we are.
Say something there.
I was going to say, how much of that was down to us defending better, and how much was down to Brentford being a bit off themselves?
Well
I saw Warburg unreal today. He had an excellent game for us.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I agree.
Full Premier League debut, he was commanding in that defence, and he was putting in tackles. So he was that I hadn't seen Cork or fucking Llorente do, you know.
Ever. I don't think Llorente knows how to tackle or pass the ball.
No.
Or head it.
Man, he's a great passer of the ball. I'm not having that at all. He's a great passer of the ball.
Not when he does a Cruyff turn and gets robbed of it. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not a pass, is it? Why we've given him another contract.
So we can 33 years old he'll be.
So we can sell him.
There was the reason apparently that we've given him a contract and Cork and Strike, that they've come to this, I don't know what you'd call it, but the board have apparently come to this reasoning that centre backs are going to be a high priced commodity in the next couple of years. And it's like,
I've heard this.
Yeah, but you're given an extension, a contract extension to someone who's not going to be in that fucking bracket in your rent.
Yeah. Yeah, and where did this come from, Carl? Because I've heard this during the week.
I've seen this on Twitter, and I think I think Phil Hay might have mentioned it as well. And it's like I don't see the logic there. Like I'd let Llorente's contract run down personally. Like
let him go.
I'd just be like, yeah, Sam, came off man, the wage, don't worry about it.
I bet he's on 70 or 80k a week.
Sorry, Charlie.
Maybe there's going to be an international shortage of centre backs, like microchips.
Do you know what?
Blame it on Ukraine.
That's like, that is the gist of it. Weirdly, yeah. I saw the same thing that Carl's seen, and apparently our board believe that the values of centre backs are going to soar astronomically.
Yeah.
No idea why. I don't know where they're all going, but that's what they think apparently.
But Llorente is not at any sort of level, is he? Come on.
No, he's not. I mean, he's not at a level where you'd consider him to be an asset. You know,
they're struggling in League One.
He's a weird one.
He looked good under Bielsa.
He'd die in League One, Barry, because he'd get no time on ball.
He looked good under Bielsa.
Well,
did he? Yeah, he did.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that because I used to like him. I used to think he was a decent player.
Mm.
So that's down to coaching.
Mm.
Which brings
us the way that the side is set up.
Factor, should Jesse Marsh still be in the job?
And confidence.
Not actually. In my opinion.
Yeah, but confidence comes from your coach as well.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
He's got to build him up.
So if we lose to Forest, does he go?
He won't go, but he should go.
No, I genuinely think we have to be in the bottom three at the end of March for him to go. I really do. There'll be too much egg on faces. Orta identified that he'd been chasing him for 2 years. He'd been keeping an eye on him. He'd identified him as the long-term successor to Bielsa. And Radrizzani said it's impossible for us to be. Now, we cannot go out and sign a player that's the most expensive player we've ever bought and another defender and potentially another midfielder and still be in danger of it. He's the ego is far too big to allow him to do that. So it will only be when there is no other choice.
And Jesse himself said last week, we're not in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
Which shows he's even more fucking deluded. So what's
has he been told he's got to
those
say
are
that.
Rad's words. Absolutely.
Well, no, exactly. And there is an
has he been told not to acknowledge a relegation battle? Because I asked before
about the clean sheets for three games. So if we lose the next three, Forest and the two scum games, at what point do the board... So I would have sacked him before now. And I think most of us are in that sort of Jesse out camp.
I think, but Charlie, like most of us on the pod said, when he will have been sacked before the World Cup.
Right, but when will the board go, enough is enough?
I don't think they will.
I think if we lose against Forest and then lose one of two games against Scum, chances are the board might not have a choice but to sack him because the fans aren't going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
I think they won't let it get as toxic as it is at Everton. And I think
it won't get this, like that though, Carl. But that this fans that fucking morons.
It's not happening. I agree with you, Carl.
Yeah,
we've had some bad fucking times.
Thanks, brother.
And our fans have never barricaded the players in, got them out of the cars and fucking berated them in the street and terrified them after death. Our fans have never done that. We prefer to fight with each other. you know, like internally each other and fucking argue instead.
No, but to be fair, we did chase the chairman around the ground and not let him leave in his taxi.
Yeah, we did. You know, he were a right arsehole. But somebody told me today that he went to Villa and there were some lads near him, and one of them started chanting for Bielsa. And somebody near him didn't like that. And these lads came to blows and they were scrapping with each other because one guy wanted Bielsa, the other guy wanted Jesse fucking Marsh. You know, that's what we do. We beat each other up. We don't fucking barricade players in and stuff like that. We're civilized.
I think a lot of it, to come back to your point, Charlie, I think a lot of it comes down to now what other sides do. So the table is scary. You know, we are, what, 3 points off bottom?
We were in the bottom three, as we were discussing on that group chat during the game.
Yeah,
we were in the bottom three, weren't we?
Yeah, but we are only 3 points clear of actual bottom of the league. Although we'd be above them on goal difference. It's Southampton and Everton are bottom, and we've got a better goal difference of both of them. We are 3 points behind Forest, and we would go above them if we beat them, and then we'd still have a game in hand. But there's so many sides down there. Actually, we're joint 15th. We would go joint 14th. We would go 13th if we beat Forest, because that's where they are. I think the point is, it's looking loads better than it should. Because when you look at the table and you think, well, you know, we're 4 points, we're 4 positions above Bournemouth, who were in the bottom three. Yeah, but that's just 1 point. looks a lot better than it actually is.
The thing is, when you hear that we've won 2 in 17 or whatever it is, you feel like, oh, we should be bottom of the table with that kind of record.
Yeah.
How
shit other sides are is really papering over cracks for us.
Yeah. The thing is, we can't rely on other teams to be as shit as they're being. This is the problem. And I think when Bielsa was in charge, and like I was just thinking about it today before the game, like last season when we were like, what we need to do is we just need to hit that 30-point mark. And we were on like 24 points for fucking ages, man. And it felt like a chain around our neck. And now I'm thinking we just need to hit that 20-point mark, because like at the moment that's a mark that we need to hit, because I think if they get that 20-point mark, there's a lot of shit that can happen below you when you get to that point, because like you said, we're only 3-4 points above the relegation zone now.
Not 1 point above the relegation zone. 3 points ahead of bottom.
And the 20-point mark is only halfway to where you need to be.
Yeah. So like,
and we're over halfway through the season.
We need to get today should have been massive. Today should have been a massive 3-pointer. Like one of the lads that I go,
we'd be laughing if we got 3 points today. We'd be on 20 points.
Just on that, Brentford are on 30 points already.
I know. Mm. Go on, Barry. Sorry, what are you saying, mate?
I'm just saying today was a missed opportunity for 3 points. Like
I think so.
Performance deserved a goal or two. It deserved the win, but like I said, we just haven't got anyone to put the ball in the back of the net at the moment. And like, I thought after about 10 minutes into the second half, he should have changed the subs, like brought on Paddy, because it would have changed the game. Bring on to out more wider, take off Aronson, because he was fucking shit.
And he was, yeah.
But he was, no, in fairness, right? But in, like I said, get the ball into Paddy and have Rodrigo hovering around him, like, you know, something would have happened. But I think he's making the substitutions too late in the games, and they're not making any effect then when they're coming on.
Are we in danger of becoming a bit of a Villa with Grealish kind of side with Willie?
Yeah.
I don't know to that level. You know, he's had some real impact in recent games, but I don't know to that level. They relied on him for a couple of seasons, so I think you know it'd have to go some to get to that level.
I think when Cesare's back fully fit, that becomes less of an issue.
I think so as well, Charlie.
Willie and Sinny are the two wider.
And Somerville.
Well, yeah.
All them available. So for me, you know, I really rate Jackie. I like him. He's got a brilliant touch, but he's so frustrating to watch. Actually, Sinny looked like our biggest goal threat before he went out, before he was injured.
He was banging him in, wasn't he? He scored every game for like, what, four games or something?
So, well, you say that, but then Rodrigo and Somerville also scored in four consecutive games together. And then Willie's had his purple patch since then. So for me, I think our strongest, and you know, this might sound daft with the number of goals that Rodrigo scored, but I think our strongest, most impactful front four is Paddy, because he occupies the defence in the way that Rodrigo doesn't, with Willie, Sinny and Jimmy behind him. And we've not even seen that lineup yet, but just how, and Sinny in the middle, I don't think we've done yet, because he plays on the right, but he drifts inside so much. I don't think it's an issue to play him in the middle, because he's almost an inside forward. If you play him through the middle in Arrington's place, Jimmy on one wing and Willie on the other, I think that might be our strongest. I think the other side to things is the pressure building on Willie is actually, you know, daft as it sounds, is it might do him some good to have a couple of games from the bench and try and relieve some of that pressure on who is just a kid.
Do you think, what's your point there, Matt? Do you think, is it a good thing that we've brought in Reuter now to kind of take that pressure off Willie? Like you were saying, maybe we can take him out of a game and he can be more of an impact sub rather than straight off the mark, and everyone just like I found today that he was very targeted. Like any time he got the ball, there was three players on him. Like
and he does get kicked to shit.
That's going to happen every game now, and he's going to get injured as a result of that. So we do need somebody. Who can
and that is what happened to Jimmy. It was only it was a cynical foul that injured him.
It's against
And I intentionally left Reuter out because I've not seen him. You know, we've not seen him line up yet. So he might well come in. And the other thing to that is, in terms of the fee, does that make Rodrigo feel a bit better that he's not got that baggage now of the most expensive player we've ever signed?
Just going to say what Jay said, smack that like. Otherwise, we'll just have to go back to being idiots in pub.
But Reuter's coming in with a lot of expectation, isn't he?
He is definitely.
You heading off, Buzzer, yeah?
Are you leaving us, Barry? No worries, mate.
Cheers,
thank
Barry.
You for coming on.
Thanks for mate.
See you
a bit later, man. I'll give you a shout.
But yeah, Reuter's coming in with a weight of expectation as well because of that fee, isn't he? There's no getting away from that. People are going to expect of him.
Do you think, though, Matt, do you think if we do stay up, like, this is a really good step in our progression now, because our forward line is sorted for at least the next sort of three seasons for me. Maybe we'll lose Rodrigo in a season or two.
I still think we need a reliable striker to come in at 26, 27 years old that you know is going to bag.
Do you not think we've got enough, though, that we could now concentrate on sorting the back line going forward?
Yeah.
Like, if we stay up now, we can build. We can move forward. We can build defence instead. We can leave the attack alone for next season.
Yeah, but I don't trust them to do it. Yeah, all right. I don't either. To be fair, Verba's come in. And he looks the real deal. But the defenders that they've signed up to that point, we had better coming out of the championship than we have signed since. Verber aside. Dallas is a better left back than Firpo.
Van Dielen is a better nonto to death.
Aylin is a better right back than Rasmus. And Cooper and Strike are better centre backs than Cock and Llorente. So, we spent before we signed Verber, we spent £65 million on our defence and didn't improve it.
No, and that's frustrating because you could have had a really fucking quality centre back for that money. Could have got Gvardiol or whatever he's called for that kind of money.
I mean, we wouldn't have signed him, but I take your point.
No, probably not, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Paul Brennan says Mr. Reuter can come off the bench. He's a big lad who can use both his feet and take Willie off. So, what he's saying is for Reuter, we can pull Willie off. That's finished, Matt.
That's kind of one of them. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
I think we're done there, guys.
I think we probably are. To be fair,
there's no coming back from that.
I don't like to disappoint. You know,
there's an interesting one. Would have taken Ings for £15 million. Well, I don't think he improves us.
I would though.
But he's 30,
goals.
He's barely played, and we've got... So the reason I said 26, 27 is I want somebody coming into their peak showed that they can score goals. We've got players that are at or beyond that level. And I think Ings also fits that bill. He's kind of like he's had some injuries. He's kind of like a Paddy Rodrigo type player where you've seen that they've got capability, but they're on the downward trajectory, aren't they?
He does score goals, but you know that if you spend that 15 million on Ings, you're not getting anything back.
Yeah, that's you know the thing. I mean? Yeah, there's no sell on value. Like,
no, that's it. It's kind of like a Premier League Billy Sharp.
Yeah.
Like, he pops up places, he bangs a few in. He's reliable, if not spectacular.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the front line because there's, what, 7-8 of them and you've only got 4 positions.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. For me, they need to sort out the defence and arguably the centre mid. Tyler Adams is excellent. Rocker's just a bit in and out for me.
Adams were great today. He got
He's our most important player. He just glues everything together.
He proper got under their skin as well.
Yeah. Oh, and I love that as well. Brilliant.
Did you notice that the... Sorry to interrupt, Charlie. Carry on there, man.
I was just going to say we've got to give him more support in the middle for me. So I think Rocker is good, but not great. And I don't think he's that consistent. And he doesn't seem to get through many 90 minutes either. So... For me, Click was doing a job off the bench, so they need to have someone in there. Maybe that's going to be Verba. Mm. He seems to play in about 8 different positions. Maybe that's Stuart Dallas. Later in the season.
We're trying to make him into the new Stuart Dallas.
Yeah. So
he's going to play everywhere.
So for me, they've got to sort this defence out. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's a clean sheet today, Charlie. You can't go.
Yeah, back, look, I'm happy. So I am still... Marsh out. I think the football's crap.
not wavering, are you?
Hard. No, I'm not. But I'm very happy with the point today. I'm happy with the win against Cardiff in the cup. I was happy with the performance against Villa going forward. Just defensively, it was garbage. If we'd have defended against Villa like we did today, I think we'd have got a point or more at Villa.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just in terms of killed us at Villa.
Yeah, just in terms of your point on Rocker, I do feel for him. He's clearly a player that likes a little bit of time on the ball, and that's a luxury that's not often afforded in the Premier League. I get that. But equally, his passing range is completely inhibited by the fact that Marsh refuses to play his wingers on the wing.
Well, another manager just spreads the width of the whole team, and we will improve significantly.
Yes, I fully agree. And I think he is somebody that can absolutely pick a pass and he can thread a pass and he can pick out runners. But when they're all in a line in front of you, what are you meant to do? So I feel for him in that, but I get your point. Yeah. I do get your point. He's not been as anything like as effective. Adams is the linchpin. He really is. And I love watching him play because I don't want to keep mentioning the name Batty because Batty, I loved him and I thought he was brilliant. I loved the fact that he just didn't give a fuck. He'd kick anybody. He had no respect for anybody else. He'd kick whoever he could.
Reputation doesn't mean shit to
him. Absolutely. I do see a bit of that in Adams. Maybe not quite the same level, but at the same time, it's a different time of, the sport's changed and you've got to manage that in yourself. We saw that with that fucking Rodrigo booking today.
Fuck me.
We were going to kick it away and then hit it into the bar instead.
And forgot, yeah. I booted it across half the field and got nothing.
And that were fine. I do take your point. Rocker's not as important to us as Adams is. Nobody is, I don't think. I think you're right on that one. But equally, I think that there's so much that we do that inhibits Rocker's natural game that it's also really difficult for him to get into it.
I'll tell you what, we didn't realise how lucky we were with Calvin, to be honest, because Calvin basically did the jobs of Rocker and Adams put together.
See,
he
I was just going
to tax, but then he could distribute the ball. Adams doesn't have that distribution so much. He breaks up attacks. He's fucking brilliant at that. He gets under the skin. He disrupts stuff. But he doesn't have that range of passing that Calvin had. And we kind of had two players in one with Calvin.
But
Marsh coach him to that?
I was going to say today, I did notice that there was times where Adams was nearly in the Click position and it was nearly putting Aronson in a relevant kind of position on the pitch because he was kind of playing that little bit more forward. But I did notice that he did try and ping a few balls after winning a tackle or two out to the edge of the 18-yard boxes. Whenever we were, you know, kicking forward or whatever. But then also I did notice that when Rocca had that time in the ball, like you were saying, Matt, he was trying to spread it, but he was confined by how wide we were playing as to the how, you know, he could then pass the ball around. Like, but I think those two together, I think they're definitely kind of becoming not a unit as such, because
they're a partnership. But
I don't think they are kind of gelling in that way. I think Adams is very much, I'm going to play further up the field and try and win that ball back. And then Rock is very much, right, I'm just going to receive it off the centre-back. And if Adams or whoever's in space, I'll give it to them unless I can play it out wide. I don't think they're playing in kind of tandem like we think they are in that 4-2-2-2, you know?
I think Adams like is just a fucking grab the ball by the arms kind of guy and off he goes.
Yeah, I think Rock is more sitting in front of the defensive back four. And Adams is just fucking hammering around, but he's
he were whenever he gets there.
Every time
a free kick, he were there taking ball off him. He were there in ref's face. He were winding them up. It were great.
He's getting very vocal on the pitch, and I like that.
Yeah. He is.
I like
it. He absolutely is.
More leaders.
Noose has just pointed out, it looks like Adams is getting further forward and open really recently. I think Adams is just so good at reading the game. He knows when he can go forward and he knows when he needs to drop deep. Yeah. He's just so good at reading the passage of play. He knows where to be. And if that's further forward, it's because the game demands it of him and therefore
he's
he does
it. He's an intelligent player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for a Yank.
Fucking hell.
Smarty said, also, I've decided I'm getting Werber on my shirt. He's a fucking delightful Austrian feast for the eyes, and he's solid. Made cock better too.
So he made cock more solid?
Basically, yeah.
I thought we were going to end it after Jay's.
I love doing it. We were, but we kind of went on for a bit. I was going to wrap it up, Carl, so I'll do that now anyway. Obviously, you got somewhere to go. Carl's...
Werber's solid cock.
Carl's got some kind of appointment that he really wants to get to, so we won't speculate on what that might be. But it's been good, lads. It's a good point. We're all disappointed we didn't get three, but it's a nice position to be in after the last few weeks. So can't argue with that. I'll just say thanks to Gilly, Charlie and Carl for joining me. I think there's no else we
you
need
joined
to
us,
put out
yeah.
there, is a Gilly? I kind of did, yeah. That's true. But I did set the broadcast up, so you joined my broadcast. So, you know.
So, yeah, just in terms of that. So, for anybody that's not yet, the lads did join Apollo Junction for a beer and a quick conversation. So if you've not yet, it's available on AudioPad and on the video on YouTube. So get along and have a quick look at the originations of the band and some really bullshit opinions about best musicians, best footballers, and all sorts of other really wild. I know it was all of you. All of you. and then we'll be back here on Tuesday night for the main pod.
And subscribe and share if you don't mind. Thanks very much. We need to get used to saying that.
We certainly do. But yeah, it's been a good one. All right, performance, not great. Got a point. Can't argue. Clean sheet. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thank you for listening to another Auto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @AutoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.